Good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my trusty co-host, Jim Hobgood. UVA student-athletes are taking exams right now, so we have a lull in the action, so to speak. However, UVA football recruiting is in full gear, and UVA basketball has a nice little break following a three-game winning streak, and they're probably doing some light practices in the afternoon, getting ready for Oregon.
The Ducks.
Who are coming to JPJ on Friday at 8 o'clock. We have a big show tonight, some football, some hoops. Going to have a lot of fun.
Yes, we are indeed glad that you've joined us tonight. We say this often, but we really do have a special show tonight. We'll be joined shortly by UVA head football coach Mike London. Frank and I have questions to ask, but if you want to join in, 345-0910 is the number. If you want to call in with a question for the head coach. And then in the second half hour, we will have ACC hoops analyst, former Jim Hobgood apartment mate, and former usher in Jim Hobgood's wedding. Mm-hmm. That's his most important claim to fame.
Hopefully he did not drop the ring.
No. But, I didn't entrust him with a ring. But Dan Bonner will be joining us to talk about ACC basketball, with a little focus on Virginia, of course. And then toward the tail end of the show, we've got Kevin Eds joining us for a few minutes just to update the status of Wahoo Wah, the documentary history of Virginia football.
Correct.
So there are several ways you can follow the show, and Frank will tell you that right now.
As always, we encourage you to call 345-0910. That's 345-0910. We really want your calls if you've got good questions. I've gotten some emails this week concerning our guests, Coach London.
If you have
London.
A bad question, you're not getting on.
Yeah, you're not getting on unless you got a good question. We're just joking. Our show is streaming live, as always, on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. All of the shows are archived on thesaber.com, and we're delighted that Chris Wright has brought that back up to current so that you can hear recent shows that had not been put on there. We also encourage our listeners to join us on Facebook and just search Who's Talking and become a fan. And, again, we remind you, 345-0910 with your questions tonight.
Absolutely. And, Frank, Mike London, of course, has his hands full with, I guess, what he referred to as the second season. Once the Virginia Tech game was over, he got back out on the road with a full complement of activities, primarily recruiting. But certainly the Virginia football staff concerned about the academic component of things right now during the exam period. And as the newspaper indicated the other day, he's got a number of decisions to make on fifth-year players, deciding who will be offered the opportunity to come back next year and who will be, I guess, uninvited.
Thanked. Well, they'll be thanked for a job well done and encouraged to succeed.
Every good wish.
Elsewhere, yes.
Best wishes.
So this is a very interesting time, I think, pertaining to the football program because, you'd like to think in very short order Virginia will be back in the bowl picture, and this would be a very exciting time frame in terms of not only the recruiting and the academics going on, but also, there'd be a lot of speculation on our upcoming opponent and how are the practices going leading up to a bowl game. And it's been a few years now since the Gator Bowl, and who would have ever thought that Virginia could play in such a terrific bowl game and then almost fall right off the map in the last couple of years?
Well, I remain confident that Coach London and his staff, before long, will get into a consistent annual bowl game appearance. But it's an interesting question. I mean, certainly from the standpoint of the team, you would like the practice time, which the bowl game gives you.
Absolutely.
But on the other hand, from a recruiting standpoint, does it help you to – certainly he's got more time to go out and see kids by not having to focus on practice in the bowl game.
Absolutely. Well, you make a good point there. Absolutely.
And at this point in time, maybe the recruiting's more important than anything else, because the one thing that I'm sure even the coaches would admit, they need to kind of upgrade the talent level in the program, and that's their number one priority at the moment.
Oh, yeah, the two deep, the three deep, and he's got to find some playmakers.
It's still true. Good players make good coaches.
Yes, absolutely. Let's see. It looks like we've got a caller. Is that correct? Oh, it looks like we've got Coach. Coach, you there?
I am here. How are you guys
Coach,
doing?
We didn't get a chance to do the intro, but we're glad that you could join us in such a timely fashion tonight. We were We were raving about, you know, the things that are going on with the program right now, and got a lot of questions to ask you. I guess first,
so let's go to it.
Let's go right to it. First question, Coach, is was season number one as difficult as you expected?
Well, I guess you can say yes and no, and that, you know, always as a coach, you're always, you know, I know people are judged by their records and things like that, but, you know, on the other part of it, there were a lot of things that happened with the players during the course of the year, through tragedy that turned into triumph, from Colter Phillips to Corey Mosley situations, and just in academic situation that turned around to be one of the best that, that we've had in recent years. You know, so it's kind of a bittersweet. I mean, a lot of times you pray for patience. I said, Lord, give me patience right now. And sometimes that doesn't work. But I look at the season as one that, you know, it's, you know, we're 4th-and-18 at Duke. We stop them. We that's a game we win. You know, the USC game, if the fake punt isn't called back, that's another opportunity. So we're talking about maybe a 6-win season. And that was kind of, you know, maybe kind of a situation where maybe we got some games that we were supposed to and maybe got about one or two that we weren't. But I'm always looking for improvement. You know, anything that can be measured can be improved. And, you know, we had a lot of success off the field, like, as I said, with academics and changing guys' lives and just changing the situations that they were in. And you're looking forward to now getting it done on the road. I'm on the road recruiting right now as we speak.
You're probably not spending much time at home these days. Maybe get home for Christmas. Coach, relative to Coach Reed, the defense, the shift to the 4-3, given the benefit of perspective, what is your assessment on how the defensive side went this year?
You know, it's always when you switch and you you know, as we found out, you know, there's a learning curve, you know, to it. You know, when you have safeties that you move to linebackers, not only do the safeties, you know, that are familiar with the coverage part of it, but, you know, there are run fit issues that, you know, that there's bigger, faster, stronger issues that you try to get your safeties to understand, because now that the linebackers, and the linebackers on any defense, you know, 9 times out of 10 make most of the tackles. So we have all those guys coming back. Our strength and conditioning guys working on them right now. They're getting bigger, stronger. You know, what are the strengths going into the season was supposed to be our secondary, but unfortunately, you know, with Rashad Dowling and the early injury to Rodney McLeod, it kind of put us in a situation where, you know, it wasn't a strength of ours. And you know, it's too bad for a kid like Rashad, who just never was, you know, 100%, you know, during the course of the year. But you know, nonetheless, you got to, the next guy's got to step up and you got to play. So,
how is Rashad doing today, physically?
He is. I tell you what, he's doing. He had a procedure done that now he's back into training and lifting and I think he's going to have a great pro day, which is going to rekindle all those ideas and thoughts of why people thought he was the first round draft pick last year. I mean, they can look at the film from his junior year, but I think he's going to get himself into the physical shape and condition to have a great pro day, and the times and the jumps and the lifts that everyone will say, you know what, this guy still has. I mean, it's hard to have a 6'2 corner that can play man-to-man in the NFL. And I think he's going to be able to, you know, be 100% and be ready to go when it counts.
Coach, before we went on the air, Frank and I were talking a little bit about the early enrollment situation. I don't know to what extent you're at liberty to talk about that, but what is the situation? Maybe you talk about it in general terms if you can't talk about specific players.
Yeah, there's been a lot of debate here recently from an article that was written that has sparked a lot of interest in. And where we are, I can tell you this, though, fellas. I can tell you that with the academic turnaround last semester and this semester, you know, the candidates that I present are candidates that I feel I understand the mission statement, and the candidates that I present, I think, have an academic profile that can do well. And if I can do that, like Will Hill from Lafayette High School 2 years ago, mid-year, he's a B student majoring in biology. Last year, Michael Strauss, quarterback that came in from the other staff, right now has a 3.0 GPA. So if I can continue to keep presenting candidates that can do well, then I think my chances of getting mid-year guys improves. You know, I can't bring a guy in for the sake of talent alone, and then he struggles academically, and then all of a sudden, you know, the options for another guy the next year are not gonna present itself. So I think so far so good right now.
When are you required to let the school know, and then obviously the player know that you're good to go on X player for that situation?
It's an early process where we start early, and when I say early, you know, you have to have some sort of academic record to look at it, so our dean can make an intelligent decision and at least see some credentials that the young man has. So if a guy has, say, he's taken all honors classes and he's got A's and B's, he's taking all core courses and there's no fluff courses, and then his high school, you know, because some high schools are in the quarter system and in the trimester system, where sometimes some of these high school guys, they can't graduate early, but if you're in a school system that would allow you to graduate early, then you can stay on track. So I would say, October. The guys that are candidates and have expressed interest like that, we just have to just stay on top of them, make sure they're keeping their grades up, and then we present them as a candidate, and then we'll get an early read about, you know, hey, listen, based on his sophomore and junior year, this guy looks like he would be a candidate for mid-year. So I'd say all, you know, October is kind of like that cutoff date right there, because not only are they playing, there's another semester's work of their first semester of senior year,
right,
that's been had a chance to be read.
Well, we appreciate that, because I've read a lot about it, and I still didn't feel like we were getting enough information. Coach, I know you've got two positions you've got to always keep an eye on with the offense, and that's the quarterback position and the tailback position. Based on what happened this year and the way you're setting up for next year, what are you going to do to help try to improve and develop your quarterbacks? And number two, who's in your top four of your tailbacks as it stands today?
Well, I think one of the things that can give credit to Coach Lazor, also being the quarterback's coach and the coordinator, is that the play of the quarterback, particularly statistic-wise, improved greatly. The play and the production of the offense from like 100 and somewhere in 100 high teens back in, down into 30-something is a remarkable feat. So I think, as we went into the year last year, there was one guy, Mark was the only guy that had, experience. Now, as we go into spring practice, we have Ross Matheny, we have Michael Rocco, who played in some games. We have Miles Gooch, a redshirt freshman that we redshirted from Georgia. Same thing with Michael Strauss, who was a mid-year last year. And then, again, I'm precluded about speaking about, candidates that are coming in mid-semester, but there'll be another one added to the mix there. So the benefit of having the second spring practice, the same terminology, mm-hmm. things like that, I think are going to benefit the guys, particularly from the quarterback situation. And running backs, Perry Jones, Kevin Parks, who will be back, Torrey Mack, those guys kind of jump out at you right now because everybody knows Perry Jones, but I tell you what, Kevin Parks is going to be something special. And Torrey Mack played in some games towards the end. So I would say that those are the top three. We got some other young freshmen that, be vying for time, and we got some guys coming in this, one particular guy coming in the class that will add to the mix there. So I'm excited about the quarterback and running back because virtually the whole offensive line returns intact, and that's whether you're throwing or running, you got to have those guys back in up front to protect you.
Yeah, that's for sure. Coach, if you could hang with us for a couple minutes, we got to take a break right now, but we'll be back with head football coach Mike London after these messages. 345-0910 if you want to call in and ask a question.